Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. We appreciate you being with us. Today, coming up in 20 minutes, Jeff Passan is going to join us. ESPN Baseball Insider. We'll talk to him about today's Major League Baseball postseason kicking off. First pitch for Major League Baseball's postseason happens four times today as the American League gets going today and then the National League gets going tomorrow. So that means four games today and eight games tomorrow, amazingly. So if you are a baseball fan, today and tomorrow in the first round of the postseason is your good place, your happy place. So we'll talk to Jeff about that coming up in 20 minutes. Also, it's advanced analytics time, which means you guys need to cast your vote on the web poll today. Last night, the Tampa Bay Lightning hoist the Stanley Cup. That's their second Stanley Cup since 2004. And this one, of course, inside the bubble, no fans. Mraz claimed to Canadian Bacon today, it's the toughest cup that's ever been won. Do you agree? Was this the most difficult Stanley Cup ever? Vote in the web poll. I'm very interested to see the results on this. Vote on Twitter at CBS Sports Radio, and we'll go inside the numbers coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. But last night, the Monday night game, this was a matchup between the two best teams of the AFC. And this was a matchup between two elite organizations. And this was a matchup between the two best young quarterbacks in the NFL. And the last 2 years, the Chiefs have come out on top in this matchup. Now in January, the Ravens being the one, the Chiefs being the two seed, Lamar Jackson being the league MVP, we were on a collision course for Ravens-Chiefs AFC title game in Baltimore. Of course, didn't happen. The Tennessee Titans upset the Ravens in the divisional round. So while the Chiefs have beaten them head-to-head, and the Chiefs have gotten to back-to-back AFC championship games, and the Chiefs have gone to a Super Bowl and won it, the Ravens have fallen short of all of those things. So last night in Baltimore was a chance for the Ravens and Lamar Jackson to prove they are the equals, finally, of Kansas City, and that Lamar Jackson is an equal of Patrick Mahomes. That did not happen. Right from Jump Street, basically, the Chiefs threw at will. And the Ravens, despite having what we thought was a very good defense, was slashed and burned all night long. I mean, every time the Chiefs wanted a big play, they got a big play. They did not hesitate from testing that secondary time after time after time. And when you look at where the balls went, it wasn't just to one or two guys. Everybody got involved. The Chiefs were just picking, all right, who's open on this play? Or which of you want it? Which is very great to show on turf-ish. Where in 99, 2000, 2001, it was Kurt Warner just choosing, okay, who's the most open? Where's the easiest touchdown? Because nothing seemed hard. Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, they all got into the action last night. And it was a 27-10 lead going into the half. Chiefs got the ball back. We're driving right down the field for another touchdown. And they were going to punch it in. And there was a fumble on an 11-yard play. And the Chiefs did not come up with it. Ravens got it. Had the Chiefs punched that in and made it 34-10, and they were on their way to doing it, it was going to be game, set, match with about 5 minutes gone by in the third quarter. It was over. The Ravens mounted a bit of a comeback, scoring 10 unanswered points, but really not enough because once the Chiefs had to get a score, they got a score. Last night, Patrick Mahomes proved he is on a different level than Lamar Jackson and perhaps than Lamar Jackson will ever be. And Lamar has been very impressive in his first two seasons, plus in pushing his game to a next level. You know, in his rookie season, it was a grab bag of running plays because he didn't understand the passing offense so well. In year number two, they opened up the passing game. He said, I'm going to be a passer. He ran that all the way to a league MVP. And in the first 2 weeks of this season, again, Lamar looked like a poised, confident, big play quarterback, both running the football and passing it. And last night, that all went poof. It all went poof. That when it was a big moment, like the divisional round against the Titans, Lamar Jackson didn't get it done. And he wasn't pedestrian last night. He was less than pedestrian. He just couldn't get that offense going. And I think that for Lamar Jackson, while he has been seemingly the next great young quarterback in the AFC, and that it's been Lamar and Mahomes because they've played against one another for three straight seasons now, it's not a fair fight. It's really not a fair fight to put Mahomes against anybody. Mahomes is still ascending somehow because he has the ability and he's got the confidence, and now he has some experience, and he's got a head coach that is brilliant, and they're putting it all together. And I know they had a sloppy effort against the Chargers a week ago, but last night it was almost like, okay, the Chiefs realize they have a challenge again. This is what they are when they click on all cylinders. It was, we're going to Baltimore, national TV. This was the best team of the AFC last year. Okay, we got something now. We got something for them now. This is a different challenge. I just thought the intensity that the Chiefs played with, the focus, how crisp and accurate they were in executing their plays was so much different than the way that they looked against the Chargers. I think when the Chiefs have their backs against the wall is a bad metaphor here because they weren't challenged here with having to win this game. But maybe Andy Reid convinced them or Mahomes convinced them, hey, this could be for home field advantage in the playoffs. This could be for where the AFC title game is played. For whatever reason, this effort last night was much different than the effort last week against the Chargers, and not because the Chargers are a better team than the Ravens. It was just because when the Chiefs really need it, they can have it in bunches. And Lamar Jackson's unlikely to ever get to where Mahomes is. And it's really probably unfair for us to do a Mahomes versus Lamar Jackson, which the Monday Night Crew was doing, you know, ad nauseum last night. Here's Mahomes stats. Here's Lamar Jackson stats. And I'll be honest, I fell into this as well. I thought it was Mahomes versus Jackson, but in reality, it's really not a fair fight. Mahomes against anybody is not a fair fight right now. Maybe Mahomes against where Russell Wilson is. Maybe Mahomes against where Aaron Rodgers is. But not Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers in year three as a starter, and not Mahomes against Russell Wilson in year three as a starter, because Mahomes at this moment in his career is just at a totally different level than maybe any quarterback ever. You know, Tom Brady might be the greatest quarterback ever to play. He didn't look like this in year three. No way. They were very good, the Patriots were, when he was a third-year starter. They, in fact, won the Super Bowl in 2003. But again, that was a great defense and a really good running back in Corey Dillon. And Tom Brady was getting better, but he wasn't doing this. Even he would agree, he wasn't doing this. You know, Mahomes last night threw for four touchdowns, ran for another. And you almost feel like if the Chiefs had to score 70, they would have scored 70. It was just a matter of how much do we have to win this game by. Lamar Jackson's not going to become Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson can become a better Lamar Jackson. Now, that's the key for the Ravens. And the Ravens, I think, wake up today and they look in the mirror and go, we're just not at that level. And Mraz, that's a cold dose of water for the Ravens today. I think they thought that they could be on the Chiefs level. And last night, it was obvious they were not at that level. And they, I don't know if they can get there this year because the Chiefs were at that next tier.
So there's two things with this. I don't know that I'm ready to say that the Ravens can't be at their level even as early as this year because, again, watching that game, there are moments last night, if guys could hold on to the damn football, that's a seven-point game, maybe it's a tie game late, specifically Mark Andrews and Hollywood Brown as well. I mean, Lamar Jackson can't do it all. I mean, he's throwing passes in guys' hands that are being dropped. Now, part of that is these guys need to be consistent, and the Chiefs are consistent, right?
That was also a frantic comeback, too, because that wasn't the case up down 27-10.
Well, Mark Andrews, I think, dropped that touchdown in the second quarter, and I think it led to a field goal.
That didn't. I thought you were talking about the one that he dropped in the fourth quarter. Didn't he have another drop in the end?
Yes,
of the
he had like
quarter?
Four drops last night. It was an awful game. Awful game. Now, the Chiefs don't make mistakes, so part of being at that level is playing seamless football. And unfortunately for the Ravens, Patrick Mahomes, no matter what you bring on defense, I mean, the guy is basically throwing it up like he's Bugs Bunny. He's got loop passes to the left. He's got seeds to the right. So it's going to be hard for me to think any team and any quarterback, including Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers, are up to the Chiefs' level unless you play flawless football. So I can't dismiss the Ravens yet and think they can't get there because I think their talent says, even at points last night, if they play mistake-free, they absolutely could play at that level. It's cutting down those mistakes. But if they can't get there, I'm not so sure there's another team in the NFL that can this year, DA. And we legitimately are looking at, I think, the best threat of a repeat champion that we've seen since the early Patriots days.
So you don't buy that the Packers or the Seahawks could be at the Chiefs level, even though offensively, I think that they're much closer to the Chiefs than the Ravens are offensively.
They are. First of all, you can't look at the Chargers the way they got after Patrick Mahomes. They tried to limit him. They hit him with their front four, and there's no way the Seahawks are doing that. So I eliminate the Seahawks away.
No pass rush.
Because there's no pass rush. So, yeah, Russell Wilson could put up 30 in that game, but that's a game the Chiefs put up 50. I would take the Chiefs lane 10 if they played the Seahawks today. The Packers are an interesting one because they can get after the quarterback a little bit. Aaron Rodgers is on that middle finger tour. I think the Packers are right now the only team in the NFL who, if they played mistake-free football, I think could compete truly with the Kansas City Chiefs. I know that sounds weird because the Chargers almost beat them a week ago, but I'm talking about the elites if we get there down the line. I just think we're throwing cold water on the Ravens and making this about the Ravens this morning not being ready when it's really more about the Chiefs are that dominant and Patrick Mahomes is that special that even if you are great and Lamar Jackson is great and the Ravens are great, it's still not good enough the way and the level that this team is playing at right now.
Yeah, and I think that that's by and large my point as well. I think the Ravens could be a 13-3 type team this year and yet be a pretty obvious notch down from the Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah. But I think in other years, without the Kansas City Chiefs existing, you look at the Ravens and go, oh, yeah, absolutely, this is a Super Bowl contender. I think that's my point. It's just they're at a level enough that they should be a Super Bowl winner, but I just think the level and the bar is so much higher than it should be in the NFL because if that's how good Patrick Mahomes is. So it's mistake-free football or you have no shot.
And anything can happen in the playoffs. I mean, the Chiefs certainly aren't impenetrable in the playoffs. You know, they trailed by 10 in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. They trailed by 24 against the Texans. They trailed by 10 against the Titans last year. They did lose the AFC title game to the Patriots. So things can happen, and maybe the Ravens don't run into the Chiefs in the AFC playoffs, and maybe you know the Ravens have kind of the run that last year's Chiefs team did where they don't match up. I just think that this matchup right now, it's 3-0 Chiefs in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't know if I believe that the Ravens, even in the playoffs, can reverse that trend.
Yeah, and well, and the Ravens have their own playoff demons to exercise down the road, by the way. The Chiefs shouldn't even be their worry first. How about, you know, figure out to win these games?
Yeah.
They've had two Lamar Jackson flubs in a row in the postseason. So that's a whole nother demon they have to get over.
Yep. Let me throw out this X factor in the AFC. What about the Steelers? I know that we don't consider Ben Roethlisberger at that level right now because he's coming off the injury. He's 38. But their defense is as good, probably better than the Chiefs' defense. I don't love their secondary. I much more like their defensive line and their front seven. But they could get after the passer. They're 3-0 as well. Could the Steelers actually be the best threat to slowing down the Chiefs of the AFC?
Their pass rush tells you they can, but here's the bit. Are they going to be able to win more games than the Ravens to find a way to win that division, at least get themselves, I know there's no fans, but still, home playoffs? You know, fine, maybe if it's the two seed and you have to play wild card weekend, get an easier.
And who knows, maybe in January it's 25% capacity. There could be some fans in the playoffs.
But the point is, find a road where you can avoid the Chiefs until the AFC title game if you're the Steelers. Because I think if you're the Steelers and you catch the Chiefs in, say, their first playoff game, a divisional round, a week off, well-rested, I don't think there's anything the Steelers are going to be able to do to stop Andy Reid off a bye and the Chiefs from humming in that first game. I think the Steelers' path, win the division, get the two seed, avoid the Chiefs till the AFC title game, and then see what happens.
I love watching Aaron Rodgers, and this Screw You tour is great. And watching Russell Wilson is just awesome. But I got to tell you, there is no show like watching Patrick Mahomes. There is just no show. And I think it's a combination of Mahomes is so good, so young, but also that the offense is so kooky that Reed is just, I mean, there's three plays a game where you're like, how did you even think of that? Last night, the underhand pass is not really a shovel pass. It's more like an underhand candlepin bowling pass.
Yeah.
It's like a Jenny Finch pass for a touchdown. It's just, to me, this is the best show since The Greatest Show on Turf and the height of the St. Louis Rams.
It's unbelievable. And last night, by the way, I know we have to get to Jeff. Underdogs, we brought this up the earlier show. Ridiculous that they were underdogs to the Ravens last night. I don't think there's another game for the next 3 years that Patrick Mahomes is an underdog in.
If Mahomes is healthy, I tend to agree. There's probably never going to be another underdog status for Patrick Mahomes for the next couple of seasons. I think you're right. When we come back, let's talk Major League Baseball's postseason opening up today with Jeff Passan, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
These bots can be destroyed and crashed in seconds. A lot of them have fire and flame and the ability to flip their opponent.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
At war with the bots every single morning here on the DA show. So glad you're with us. On a Trash Tuesday, send us your trashes, won't you? DA on CBS. And our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit? Car, motorcycle, and RV policies, that's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Major League Baseball's postseason is here, starting off with the four AL series today, and then all eight series tomorrow. Joining us, lead Major League Baseball insider for ESPN. Love having him on the show, Jeff Passan. Jeffrey, good morning.
Damon, how are you?
I'm great, bud. I'm great. How you doing? Long time no hear. How you doing?
This reminds me of the old days, like 15 years ago, when you would call me in the morning in Kansas City, and I would be on no sleep whatsoever, and I would sound incredibly tired on the radio. And I'm trying really hard right now not to sound incredibly tired.
Baseball,
I learned that lesson going out. I would go on with you at like 6:30 in the morning, and you would ask me terrible questions, and I just was not interested at all. And so I made no effort. I'm trying to make an effort right now.
Baseball did you a favor. No West Coast late game today. Everything wraps up with the Yankees and Indians by probably 10 o'clock tonight.
It's going to be nice, isn't it?
So it really is. Do you like the expanded postseason this year with eight teams in both leagues?
I'm glad you said this year. Because, yes, I'm okay with it as not a one-year experiment, but as a response to everything that has happened with COVID. Like, I'm all right with sub-500 teams. There are two of them in the postseason. I'm all right with the idea that a higher seed can get knocked out by a lower seed in a three-game series, because it's not like, you know, they played 162 games and earned the right to a bye in the first round or anything like that. No, they did this over 60 games, and that's such a small sample that's typically so not indicative of what teams are exactly over the course of a long season that I'm not going to sit here and say we need to reward those teams that have been at the top of the standings. That said, when you have more than half the league in the playoffs, I do not think that is a tenable thing long term. So 16 teams next year, definitely not down with that. If you want to expand it to 12, fine. 14, kind of pushing it a little, but I think you can do that. I'd be fine with 10. Which is what it's been. I just think that now that the Pandora's box has been opened, there's no way that they're going to be going back to it.
I know. I love the 10 as well. I think it really works very well for Major League Baseball.
I do too.
Now, this first round is going to be at home ballparks, but ultimately, by the time we get deeper into the postseason, it's going to be at neutral sites. And what do you think about that? Do you think baseball did the right thing by moving those big, huge games into neutral sites?
I'm okay with it because the advantage of playing at home really is not particularly advantageous this year. I mean, the whole idea is that you're going to have the home crowd on your side, right? The home crowd in 2020 consists of an MP3 and a stereo system. It's not like you're getting fans chanting or getting loud at the right moment or trying to intimidate the opposing pitcher.
Sounds like we lost Jeff Passan, so we'll try to get him back on the horn. ESPN Baseball Insider. So here are your matchups for Major League Baseball's playoffs, which begin today. In the American League, the 1-8 matchup. Think about this. There's a 1-8 in the AL, 1-8 in the NL. 1-8 is the Rays versus the Blue Jays. Yes, Tampa Bay is the best team in the American League. The 2-7, the A's versus the White Sox. The 3-6, Twins versus the Astros. The 4-5, Indians versus the Yankees. Now, the National League, your best team is the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers are the 1, the Milwaukee Brewers are the 8 seed. And so, we've also got in the 2-7, the Braves-Reds, the Cubs-Marlins are the 3-6, and the Padres-Cardinals are the 4-5. Jeff Passan's back with us, and Jeff, you were just saying
Was I making such a good point that you were afraid I was going to take over your show, and you just hung up on me?
I think it's the drones. The drones shot you down.
So, what happens, isn't it? As I was saying, home field advantage, not really a thing this year. And if you can get rid of travel and cut down on the possibility of players or staff members contracting COVID, like the thing about COVID right now is if you have an outbreak on a team, that puts in jeopardy that team season and the sanctity of the playoffs, because one of two things is going to happen. Either you are going to have to play with a desperately beaten down team. There's a reason that every team is going to be bringing 12 reserves in addition to the 28 players that you can roster, or you're just not going to play at all, and you know, the worst case scenario, you're essentially going to be ejected from the playoffs, because baseball just cannot afford at this point to, they can't afford not to play these games. Like the whole point of this season to the people who run baseball was, yes, to get a season in, but the owners in particular wanted to get to the postseason so they could get $1 billion in national television revenue. That money means everything to them. And that's, you know, that is what they have been playing for as much as the championship.
Right. Jeff Passan, ESPN Insider, Major League Baseball, joins us as baseball's postseason opens up today. I'm going to ask you a few just quick thumbnails on some team or series. Number one, do you think the Rays are the best team in the American League? They have the one seed.
I do. I am picking them to go to the World Series.
On the basis of what strengths?
On the basis of the lack of a spectacular team in the American League. But additionally, it's the little things. I almost think they're like the Dodgers without the stars. You know, they have their bullpen, for example, lowest walk rate in the league, lowest home run rate in the league. Dodgers, the same. They are the lowest walk rate in the bullpen and lowest home run rate in all of baseball. So it's the Dodgers and Rays 1-2. The Rays field extraordinarily well. They're just a really fundamentally sound team. The Rays have platoons. You know, they went with an all left-handed lineup, not switch hitters, all lefties earlier this year when they were facing a right-hander who was particularly susceptible to lefties. They know who they are, D.A. Like, they really not just know who they are, but they embrace it. And that embracing of this culture, this idea that you don't need to have stars, you don't need to have a high payroll to be really good, is something that I think it's a special culture. And I don't know, maybe I'm being foolish or romantic, but I like to believe that good cultures get rewarded with success.
They are arguably the smartest franchise in all of professional sports to do this year after year in that division with that payroll. Do you consider the San Diego Padres the most interesting team in the baseball playoffs?
I think it depends if Nelson Lamet and Mike Clevinger are healthy. If you can get one of them, and I think Lamet's the likelier to pitch of the two, they're super interesting. If you get both of them, I think interesting doesn't suffice. I think they're super dangerous at that point. And they may be the second best team in baseball if they've got both of those starters.
The Yankees are the 5 seed taking on the Cleveland Indians. Are the Yankees a fatally flawed team?
Let's put it this way. I think the Indians are going to win that series. I look at a couple of things with the Yankees that really scare me. You know, I talk about no home field advantage. That's all well and good. The Yankees were 11-18 on the road this year, D.A., and they have to go to Cleveland and face Shane Bieber, Carlos Carrasco, and Zach Plesac, arguably the best starting pitching trio of any in the wild card round. The scarier number to me than road record, though, is 10-17. That's the record against teams 500 or better. The Yankees beat up this year on the Red Sox and Orioles, and against everybody else, they were 17-23. If there's a fatal flaw, it's that they kicked the asses of the guys who aren't very good and got walked over by everyone else. And that's something that makes me really nervous. That being said, as we've seen, the Yankees, as much as anyone, are capable of turning into an absolute juggernaut overnight and looking like the biggest world beaters there are. So I may end up eating plenty of crow here if they go on one of those jags for 3 games.
Finally, the Astros, without the expanded playoffs, would have missed the postseason. Were they exposed at all this year after everything that we went through in the winter with the investigation and the punishments?
I mean, they stunk. I don't know if that's, like, I don't know if that's exposure. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the Astros didn't do it because they were banging on trash cans. No, I don't think that Jose Altuve suddenly turned into a bad player because they weren't doing sign stealing. When you look at the past and when they were doing the trash can banging scheme, Jose Altuve was not involved in it. Now, admittedly, there are other ways to involve a player rather than banging on a trash can. And if anyone was going to find out how to do that, it was going to be the Astros. But I just think that that narrative, the Astros didn't bang on trash cans, thus they stink, has no basis in fact. It's correlated. It's not causative. To me, what was so bad about the Astros was the fact that they lost Justin Verlander. Their starting pitching wasn't great. They had to break in a bunch of relievers, you know, young guys, rookies, because so many of them got hurt, and they didn't get good until like the middle of September. But I just think they're running into a Twins team that's as dangerous as anyone in the American League outside of the Rays. And while the White Sox have shown flashes and the Yankees have shown flashes, I think if anyone is going to unseat the Rays this year, it's going to be the Twins.
Jeff Passan joins us this morning on the show, MLB insider for ESPN and ESPN.com. I really loved his recent column, his 20 questions as the playoffs begin, including why Braves-Reds is actually the best wild card series. So I encourage you to go read that. I'll tweet that out as well because I think it's a really great column for a lot of our baseball fans. It's at ESPN.com. Some really great stats and preview matchups in the column. Jeff, it is always wonderful to catch up and hear your voice, my man. Thank you so much for doing it for us today. Enjoy the playoffs, and hopefully we can catch up again sometime in October.
How did I do? Did I sound awake?
Yeah, you did a great job today. It was awake. You were crisp. You were bringing it despite your phone zapping out on us. I thought that was an A-plus effort.
I feel so good to hear that. Thank you, D.A. You're the best. Even if you lie to me, I still love you.
Thanks, Passan.
Later, man.
See ya. Jeff Passan joining us this morning here on the show. Excited for today's Major League Baseball postseason, opening up with four series today, all in the American League, and then tomorrow all of the National League. So the next couple of days is going to feel like March Madness. Games all day long this week in the first round of the MLB playoffs. Standing by with our headlines is our good friend Andrew Vogish. Now, AV, which first round series are you most interested by?
I kind of like that Braves-Reds series. I think that's prime for an upset. That's a 2-7 matchup, I believe, in the NL.
Yep.
I like the Reds starting pitching against the Braves' depleted rotation, although Atlanta can hit as good as anybody in the National League. And Brewers and Dodgers are a little bit intriguing, too, just because I've always thought Milwaukee should be better than they were all season long. They limp in, but history tells you that the way you finish the regular season doesn't matter when the postseason starts. So I don't think the Brewers can beat the Dodgers, but I think that series might have a little more intrigue than maybe some people are giving it credit for.
AV has our headline this morning, getting ready for today's baseball action. Last night, a big Monday night game as well, won by the Chiefs. What do we got?
It's all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance.
Woo!
The Ravens did get within a touchdown of the Chiefs in the fourth quarter of Monday Night Football, but it was KC's night. The Ravens just weren't good enough, says defensive end Calais Campbell.
We prepare for it. We just didn't execute today. You know, I mean, you got to take your hat off to them. You know, they played a great football game. You know, we tried to make a run late, and then, you know, we just didn't have enough to get it done today.
Campbell and the D allowed the Chiefs to build a 27-10 halftime lead. The 34-20 final included 385 yards and five total touchdowns from Patrick Mahomes. Rookie running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire at 134 scrimmage yards. KC has won 12 in a row dating back to last season. Did you guys notice how hard Levy was going with Helaire last night?
Okay, so
what
you
was that
noticed
about?
This too.
Yes.
I don't know, because we've been calling this guy Clyde Edwards-Helaire for his collegiate career and then coming into the draft, etc. And last night it was, you're right, Levy was really stressing the Helaire, almost like a chocolate eclair.
Well,
right.
Because some people were calling him Helaire, like bread, Helaire. And I think that he, even though it's not a hard E, I think it was just trying to overemphasize that it's not the but he went over and beyond. And then had Patrick Mahomes' mom all ticked off at them that they called him Pat Mahomes.
What do you mean?
She tweeted.
I think that was Louis Riddick, right? I think
no,
it was Riddick
greasy.
Who was doing the most. It was
greasy.
He kept calling him Pat Mahomes the whole game.
And she said, could somebody tell this announcer dude my son's name isn't Pat?
Oh, my. Well, I think... I hope I'm not spilling the beans here, but I think they're divorced. And so I wonder if maybe there is a little animosity between dad and son, because that's kind of a weird thing to be like so bent out of shape that somebody's calling your son Pat instead of Patrick. But I think it's because mommy and daddy are not, they're not on good terms.
Awkward.
So, I thought the booth was good, but a couple problems there. Levy with the Elair, and then Mahomes' mom not happy. So rough.
Yeah, and you tweeting that you loved the Monday Night Football booth is so funny.
On. I didn't say love.
Okay.
It's not what I said. I like them, though. I do. I like them. And maybe I just like them because everything else was bad.
Well, I do think it's funny. I don't want to get too far down a rabbit hole here, but I think that ESPN was just so shell-shocked by being trashed the last 2 years, because everybody killed Witten, and everybody killed Booger, and everybody killed the Boogermobile, and everybody killed Tess, that I think they just went as safe as humanly possible. We know that nobody's going to say anything crazy, no catchphrases, no sound effects, no mobiles, no nothing. Let's just have three kind of very conservative, bland guys calling the game. And I think you're right, Mraz. Like, it's not exciting, but it's better than it has been. And it's almost a breath of, it's a yes. sigh of relief, actually. You go into Monday night, you go, okay, it's not going to be annoying, at least.
Because that, I think that is the key. They're not distracting. I could enjoy Chiefs-Ravens last night, not be distracted with, wow, this is a mistake here. Booger, what the heck are you talking about here?
Right.
It was just, you're along for the ride with those three, and that's all I need.
It's not a great team. They're never going to be a great broadcast team, but they don't get in the way. And the last 2 years of Monday Night Football has just been in the way of the game every single week.
Yes.
Elsewhere in the NFL, the Bears are switching to Nick Foles under center, and tight end Jordan Reed is the latest Niner to get hurt, maybe because of that MetLife turf. Reed's out 6 to 8 weeks with a knee injury suffered in Sunday's win over the Giants. Watch your step, Brad Stevens. The Clippers divorced Doc Rivers yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Shortly after blowing that 3-1 lead on the Nuggets, Rivers told fans in a post on social media he wished he had a chance to reach all of their goals. The Clips won 356 games over Doc's 7 seasons, but the franchise has still not made the conference final. The Athletic says the Sixers and Pelicans have already reached out to Rivers. Now, we've already heard the Lightning win the Stanley Cup in Canadian bacon, but I want Dave Mishkin's call to play just a little bit longer than Sean's version.
Time ticks down! The Lightning win the Stanley Cup! They have reached the top of the mountain! They are the Stanley Cup champs!
Wow.
Dave Mishkin screaming to death, and then Phil Esposito comes out of a coma to give us a wow as the Stanley Cup ends. I mean, Espo is an all-time player. He's been Mishkin's partner for forever, and there is not a more night and day team than these two guys. Mishkin doing that, and Esposito goes, wow. All of that after the Lightning.
It would be almost like teaming Pat Summerall with like John Gruden. It was just like three words, and then the next guy just takes all of the air out of the broadcast.
Oh, it's too good.
The Lightning won game 6 last night, 2-0 over the Stars to get the second cup in team history. Wow. The baseball postseason, as we've been discussing, begins this afternoon. The nightcap, the Yankees in Cleveland. Yankee fans that didn't abandon the team when they were losing 15 of 20 hope Gerrit Cole pitches better than he tells jokes.
What do you like about taking the ball in games like this?
The stakes.
Can you expand on that?
They're high. I enjoy them.
They're high. I enjoy them. The entire time trying not to laugh like Jimmy Fallon on a bad SNL sketch.
Oh.
He was also looking around to see if anybody else thought he was funny as well. That's your ace. Telling knock-knock jokes on the eve of your playoff opener.
That was good.
Oh, God.
5-1 Indians.
Seriously, Shane Bieber, all business, starts for Cleveland tonight. Ohio State head coach Ryan Day says corner Sean Wade, guard Wyatt Davis cleared to play this fall. Both All-America candidates opted out of the season shortly before the Big Ten changed its mind. And Georgia QB JT Daniels has medical clearance to play Saturday versus Auburn, but he's not their starter just yet. Daniels missed most of last season at USC with a torn ACL. Neither QB, DeJuan Mathis or Stetson Bennett, was tremendous when the Bulldogs won at Arkansas last weekend. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. Now, remember, tonight we've got the opener for the Yankees and the Indians. Mraz has promised he will not tweet. He has sworn off the team. He will not tweet at all this entire series. That includes, of course, tonight. So make sure you police Mraz. He is wearing his Yankees jersey today, so it's hard for me to imagine he won't have at least one tweet drip off of his fat fingers, but he swears. He swears.
It's also a Giancarlo jersey, so it really just compounds the issue here today.
When we come back, your trash is on a Trash Tuesday and Advanced Analytics in an epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
We found out that Mraz uses a nickname for his wife and his phone, and then he gave us a very coffee talk-esque reason. Let's play the fail. He's a POS. Now I refer to him as him. So
it's normal to have nicknames, though. Normal.
Danielle feels so strongly about you that she has put you in her phone as him.
I do love kielbasa.
H-I-M.
Yeah. So that she knows to ignore the call when it comes in, and she's disgusted him. By it. Him. I'm just him. Yeah. You guys with your formal names. Who puts Katie Bogish? No. Wifey, sweetie pie, honey buns,
cha-cha-lacha.
Honey bunches of notes, hot cha-cha-lacha. Have some fun with your marriage, you know?
Somebody call the Boulder Fire Department!
Have some fun with your marriage.
Oh!
What is this? Bronx beat?
Yeah, here comes his Bronx tail voice.
Here's Mraz with coffee talk. Have some fun with your marriage already, okay?
Coming from a very loving house.
We're going to be welcoming on Jack Kay a little bit later on in the morning. We're going to talk about how to make sure your man is properly taken care of, okay?
Oh, my gosh.
Have some fun with your marriage.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I owe you a man.
You know, do little pet nicknames.
That's cute. I mean, it's not wrong being cute. Spice it up.
Wear something a little spicy around the kitchen for your man. You
I'm
know?
Home, lady.
Have fun with your marriage. Call your man La Cucaracha, you know. Just have some fun with your marriage.
That's fun.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
And then Cap whipped up the greatest Photoshop ever of Mraz as Mike Myers in Coffee Talk. I tweeted that out. It's just awesome. Our poll question today was, this year's Stanley Cup, the toughest ever to win in NHL history, as Mraz claimed during Canadian Bacon. 58% of you said no, you disagree with Mraz. Only 42% agreed this was the toughest cup in NHL history. The NHL combined had 33,000 COVID tests inside the bubble. Not one returned a positive test. If you're wondering about maybe the other toughest Stanley Cups to win, perhaps during World War II, the Maple Leafs won in 42, the Red Wings in 43, the Canadiens in 44, and the Maple Leafs again in 45. However, that's just six teams, which I think might have just fed into one playoff round, if I'm not mistaken. I don't even know if there was a Final Four. So this could have been the toughest ever during the to win a Stanley Cup. For trashes, Alien OG's trashing Trent Dilfer, consistently disrespecting the Chiefs. Trash him.
Warning, hazardous material.
Tommy is trashing that guy who pulls up to the last available gas pump then has a 20-minute conversation with somebody while I sit and idle on fumes. Trash him.
Let's face it, that's straight trash.
Also, trash is coming in from Rob, who tweets, I'm trashing fans lucky enough when their team scores a touchdown. The network shows a live feed of their reaction. I know the Chiefs are taking your team to the woodshed, but act like you have some enthusiasm on national TV last night. Get them out. So trash is coming in here on the DA show this morning. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti on the wheels of steel and audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And Andrew Bogus, Sean, your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.